The clerk at the sporting goods store in Georgetown eyes me like I'm taking a dump in his trail mix. Like a black woman can't purchase camping gear. I toss my new overpriced L.L. Bean rucksack on the counter with the rest of the stuff, hoping Chet will just ring it up and keep his opinions to himself. Hell, what I really want to do is reach under my collar, power up the special adaptive camouflage on my suit, and poof, disappear right in front of his stupid face. But A, I've been a little wary of cloaking since the incident. B, the suit's in the trunk of my car. I'm all Ann Taylor business casual for my meeting today. And C, Chet and his stank eye are not entirely off base. Truth is, I don't know how to use most of the stuff I'm buying. I was always more of an indoor kid. The whole private military super soldier thing is kind of a fluke. I shove the gear into the trunk of my Honda Civic A2, climb in on the passenger side, I'm old school, and recline the seat back as far as it can go. I speak the destination, and the A2 quietly shifts into drive and pulls out. We've got some time. Let me tell you how I got here. I came out of college doing administrative work for defense subcontractors. Data analysis, asset forfeiture, anything to pay Howard University back and support my impressive weed habit. By my early 20s, I'd built up a pretty high level of security clearance for a civilian. I was bored behind a desk, though. The first time a field agent let me hold his gun, I was like, yes! I jumped from agency to agency. DEA, FBI, ICE. And then I pulled a gangster move. Remember Class 8A, the government's now defunct development program for disadvantaged businesses? I launched my own minority-led private security company. You know how we do. The world had basically been imploding since 2020, and the U.S. defense tap was wide open. Me and my guys started to piece together a living wage doing black ops work. Latin America, the Mideast. Most of it pretty unsavory. Surgical hits. Regime change. I learned the secret to doing dirt. Do it and walk away. Don't feel anything. I got good at it. But the bigger firms like DynCorp and Sierra kept muscling us aside, snapping up the best jobs in all the global hot zones. That all changed when the suits came out. This was a few years ago. The DOD very discreetly announced that they were looking for subcontractors to field test some new nano-engineered adaptive camouflage uniforms. No cool acronym. They were for stealth use in ground conflicts. The suit was made entirely of a melanin-based polymer. It was synthetic melanin, whipped up in labs. But that didn't stop me from raising a fuss in the right circles. I played the race card as hard as I could play it. I mean, the U.S. military was beta testing high-tech leotards fashioned from the souls of black folk. Someone in the Defense Department had to have enough PR savvy to understand why they couldn't do that without handing one to the premier intersectional mercenary in the business. Me. And so I leveled up. The A2 pings me as we pull into the parking lot in Pentagon City. That reminds me, I'm gonna have to ditch old girl. I'm playing it too sloppy as it is, running errands in my own car and so close to headquarters. Besides, something tells me autonomous automobiles don't make great getaway cars. Security waves me through the lobby, staring at my chest in lieu of asking for ID. I'm not gonna miss that. Nor will I miss the bland 90s pop cocktail playing in the elevator. Gina's sitting rigidly behind her desk as I walk into her office. I'm not worried. I know why I'm here, why she called me in. She's gonna tell me that 2 weeks ago, there was an incident involving the accidental shooting of a civilian non-combatant in Bamako, Mali. Then she's gonna inform me that there's to be an official inquiry into the incident and by which agency. Finally, she's gonna lean in, narrow her eyes, and ask me firmly if I had anything to do with said incident, because she knows that I was in Bamako 2 weeks ago shadowing possible members of a radical insurgency. That's her job as my official DOD liaison. To know where I am at all times, at least as often as I decide to tell her. When Gina and I are off the clock, tangled up in her cozy two-story house in Southeast, I like to call her my handler, then roll out of bed before she can catch me and debrief me. "As you were," she yells before jumping up and chasing me down. That I'm gonna miss. Gina tells me to shut the door behind me. Then she says everything I think she's gonna say, except not the way I think she's gonna say it. Her voice is trembling. She's worried about me. Jesus, Gina, there you go overreacting again, I think to myself. I mean, the situation wasn't good, it was a shit show. But as military clusterfucks and hostile dust bowls go, it wasn't unusual. Really, it was just cross signals. U.S. Special Forces had surrounded the guy's house not knowing I was inside. I mean, how could they? I want to tell Gina not to worry about me anymore. But then she'll want to know what that means. So instead, I say what I've been planning to say since I put on my Ann Taylor blouse this morning. I wasn't there. It sucks that that happened, but I wasn't there. Gina's quiet. My hand involuntarily reaches for my shirt collar, hoping to find the neck of the suit popping out. Then I remember I'm not wearing it. It's in the trunk of my car. "They airlifted him from Bamako to Walter Reed for observation," she says. "What?" I snap. "The civilian from Mali. He's at Walter Reed Hospital." "I thought he was dead." "I thought you said you weren't there." I say nothing. "He's in a coma," she says. My mind races back to that day. There was a lot of blood. I thought he was dead. "Kelly," barks Gina, as if saying my name will lasso me into this moment. "We've received reports that for days the man had been telling friends and neighbors that he thought he was being haunted." "What are you talking about?" I ask. "Like a man or woman that he could only see out of the corner of his eye when he wasn't really looking. Watching him. Following him." "That's what he said. Like a ghost." "I wasn't there," I repeat. I see Gina's hand about to move toward me, but I'm already backing away. As I head for the elevator, I take small solace in the knowledge that when they come after me, they won't send her. I didn't shoot the guy in Mali. I was in the house with him, sure. But by then, I was wrapping up the investigation. He was no insurgent, not even a threat. Just a cagey dude waxing too political on Snapchat. Besides, I was anxious as hell to get out of there. Honestly, I've been feeling off since I first touched down in Africa. When I was wearing the suit, I was jumpy. I was hearing things. I felt overstimulated and hyper-aware. And I was starting to feel things. Like other people's feelings when they passed too close to me in the street. The guy whose house I'd been snooping around, I could sense his fear. I didn't like how it felt, being inside other people like this, even if it was helpful. Like when the Special Forces squad creeped on the house, nervous as hell, I felt them coming. It's like they were vibrating outside of their bodies through the walls, and I was an antenna. That's why I went outside, to talk them down. The suit's camouflage isn't perfect. Wearing it, I'm nearly impossible to spot in dark or busy areas. But if you stare right at it, it's like someone smudged reality with a Photoshop brush. A moving distortion in space-time. I walk calmly out the back door. But before I could pull the hood down and put my hands in the air, one of the Special Forces guys saw the smudge and let one go. At the moment I heard the pop from his rifle, I felt a surge of, I guess, resistance that started in my chest and forced its way out through my pores. And when that wave reached the suit, it's like the suit radiated that force outward 50 times stronger. The bullet ricocheted off my shoulder, through the door and into the house. I heard the civilian non-combatant scream and fall to the floor. I don't know what he said, but I know what he felt. It was as clear to me as if he'd whispered it right into my ear. Ghost. Since Africa, I've been doing some research on the origins of the suit. As far back as the 90s, the military had been pouring money into researching melanin. It was known that certain birds use the chemical to change color, so it was a no-brainer that defense would be looking at it as a way to camouflage troops. Some scientists also hypothesized that it was melanin that gave bloodworms their incredible jaw strength. But I don't know shit about bloodworms. What I do know is that the suit was not designed to stop or repel bullets. It's not armor. Something is happening. The suit is changing, evolving. And I think it might have something to do with who's wearing it. I know this is gonna sound crazy, but when I was a sophomore at Howard, this senior with an ankh around his neck used to follow me through the quad calling me queen and preaching to me about the principles of comedic spirituality. I bet he would have had a field day with this suit. He'd say the concentrated melanin must be amplifying ancient African mysticism or whatever. He'd say the suit was helping me channel my ancestors. Hell, he'd probably paint a Sankofa on the chest and teach himself how to fly. He was full of that kind of bullshit. Me, I'm thinking this suit never should have been made at all. That it's the result of cocky science assholes and soldiers hacking into natural power they don't understand and can't control. From the few very guarded conversations that I was able to have about this without setting off alarm bells over at the Pentagon, there is only one other person successfully deployed with the suit who ever reported side effects like mine. That brother, a tough ex-Marine from South Philly, is currently doodling on the wall at a psychiatric hospital somewhere in New Mexico. The hospital staff won't go near him. They say he can tell you what you had for breakfast or who you're fucking just by looking at you. That's not gonna be me, stuck in some psych ward somewhere, David Blaine to a bunch of orderlies. That's why I'm running. After Molly, I knew I needed some time alone with the suit to figure out exactly what was going on, what it was doing to me. I figured I'd do some beta testing of my own. I'd go off the grid, head west, maybe even make my way to New Mexico or San Diego, where a lot of the original melanin research was done. No one's supposed to know about the suits. Not foreign governments. Folks in the White House don't even know. So I knew that if I took off with it, someone would come looking to take it back. Until this morning, I was pretty confident I could stay gone. But now, I have another item on my to-do list, and I have to take care of it before I can leave. I meant what I said to Gina about this sort of eyewitness who was currently convalescing in Bethesda. It sucked that he caught wind of me. It sucked that he caught a bullet that was meant for me. Hell, it sucked that he'd gotten caught up in all this at all. But coma or no coma, he was proof. Literally living proof that I'd been at the center of that mess in Mali. And everything I'd learned over the years about how to do dirt and get away clean told me that this was simply not something I could let go. He was a loose end that needed to be tied off. Slipping into a secure military hospital sounds difficult, but not when you have a top secret cloaking device. Or when everyone inside already thinks you're a nurse. I'm on the right floor, in the correct ward, before I even have to put the suit on. I stare at it for a minute. It's an impenetrable, impossible matte black. But at the same time, if you gaze into the fabric, it's every color in the spectrum. Feels good to put it back on. I realize as it bonds to my skin that I've been missing it. I feel stronger, like twice myself. I shake out of this Bilbo Baggins moment and exit the bathroom stall. I sneak easily around the two schlubs who got stuck guarding a coma patient and enter the Molly guy's room. He's alone in his bed, breathing slowly through a tube. Machines chirp all around him. I approach the bed and check the name on the chart. John Doe, of course. Luckily, I'm wearing psychic pajamas. I lean in and put my hand over his and, whoa, this is new. His memories come rushing at me. It's like his mind pours up through the sleeves of the suit and into mine. It takes me a second to slow it down. His name is Umar. Wow. I really underestimated this guy. I flipped through his recent past like a carousel slideshow. The entire time I'd been watching Umar and Mali, he'd been watching me. Or trying. He'd actually caught a few glimpses of me at my sloppiest, circling around behind him to see who he was texting, sliding into his room as he drifted off to sleep. He'd been looking right at me as the bullet bounced off me and struck his skull. He's gonna recover from that, by the way. His vitals are good. I find myself thinking, maybe I don't have to do what I came here to do after all. It's not like he actually saw my face. So what if he wakes up and tells a few more people he saw a ghost? What's the harm in that? The thought surprises me. I'm used to cleaning up after myself. But I'm also relieved. I back away from the hospital bed thinking if I leave now, I'll still have a pretty good head start on whatever spooks are chasing me down. That's when it occurs to me. I can't just leave him here. The people who are coming after me have way more to lose than I do. If they're ready to kill me for stealing the suit, they'll take Umar out just for knowing about it. I'm still holding his hand. I squeeze his fingers, scan his dark features. And then I realize, I can't let that happen. I have to protect him. The thought really freaks me out. It seems to come from somewhere deeper inside me than me. Pulled up to the surface oh shit, it's the suit. I know it. First it has me reading minds and now I'm supposed to care about this guy? Not convenient, not cool. I could die right here today fighting for some African dude I don't even know. All because of a double extra strength dose of melanin. I get a text from Gina that reads simply, "As you were." I know she means they're coming and I should run. I don't. I move to stand between Umar's bed and the door. I've got no weapon and my hand-to-hand combat training is rusty as all hell. Pray the ancestors can help me with that. I take off my earrings.
My name's Kayla. At the Black Open University, we learnt binary drumming, the physics of warrior dance, Dangira Tawagi. Mathematics of warrior dance. We learned more about Abbott's Secret, a really great book, a really good story. We also started a planetarium project. The binary drumming is part of Unified Knowledge Language. We learnt Lotus Pole, binary drumming, number based. We learnt binary drumming rhythm. We learnt to count in binary. We learnt sign language and African language. In the physics of warrior dance, we learnt about space and time. Electric charge, an electric field, energy and matter, and light. In the other Dangira dance, we learnt transformation, that is, rotation, reflection, enlargement, and translation. In the next class, we read Abbott's Secret, a book about space, geometry and all sorts of other stuff. In last class, we learned about building geodesic domes. We learned about number, measure, and ratio. These are very important.
At the Black Open University,
you're tuned in to You Learn Naturally Radio. Space and time. Electric charge, electric field. Energy, matter. Light. These are the subjects of physics.
We put them all together and in our warrior dance. It was fun and I learned a lot.
Anything else to say?
Yeah.
What else would you like to say?
Okay.
Sing that song again.
Abukida, I'm ready to quang quang. Abukida, hey, Wuzo.
That's really nice, because I remember when we were kids, we used to sing those songs. Abukida. Who will teach you this? Someone. Is a good teacher?
Yeah.
Give me a high five. You're doing good.
Thank you.
No worries.
Thank you so much.
He's speaking a really good Hawaiian teacher.
We had one lesson and he caught it. He's picked the vibe for the thing like this.
Abukida, I'm running a quang quang. Abukida, hey Wuzo. Abukida, I'm running a quang quang. Abukida, hey Wuzo. Abukida, I'm ready to come quang. Abukida, hey Wuzo. Abukida, I'm ready to come quang. Abukida, hey Wuzo. Abukida, I'm ready to come quang. Abukida, hey Wuzo. Hey Wuzo. Hey Wuzo. Hey,